Hello and welcome to The Virus. I'm your host, Russell Corona. Over the course of this show, I will examine viral videos, hoaxes, their perpetrators, and the effects these hoaxes have on society and how they were exposed. If you are unfamiliar with any of the videos, events, or images, they will be posted on this show's Facebook page. Just search The Virus Podcast on Facebook. You're listening to Lancer Radio, Pasadena Campus Sounds, streaming live 24 hours a day at www.lancerradio.org. One of the first instances of possible Bigfoot hoaxes is the famous, or infamous, Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin film. It runs about a minute in length and shows what is believed to be a female Bigfoot walking. If you examine the video and the circumstances under which the video was constructed, you can see a pattern that is likely to point to a hoax. Patterson and Gimlin set out to make a documentary about Bigfoot, and it just so happens that they captured a Bigfoot on film. Roger Patterson then hired a man to pose as Bob Gimlin and began showing the film for profit in sideshows. Many of his defenders claim that he lacked the special effects ability to fake such a film, but consider this. No one has ever been able to capture more definitive Bigfoot footage, even in an age where cameras are more powerful and more prevalent. That most likely points to a hoax. In 1958, Frank Hansen claimed to have a Bigfoot frozen in a block of ice and displayed the body at carnivals and sideshows. When he caught the eyes of scientists who pressured him to let them examine the body, he then changed his story and claimed the body was a replica. It soon became obvious to all that that was a hoax. In 1977, pranksters planted their friend on a crowded bus to draw attention to their other friend crossing the highway wearing a gorilla suit. People described the figure as 7 feet tall with a bad odor, despite the fact that Kevin Ticehurst was only 5'11 in the gorilla suit. The scientist Carl Sagan once said, "Extraordinary claims require extraordinary proof." And this is no exception. Bigfoot sightings often rely on eyewitness accounts for collaboration. But consider this. Eyewitness accounts are not fact. They are opinions. It's really an interpretation of what someone thinks they saw. Without seeing it yourself, you're dependent on a person giving an unbiased, unembellished account of a fantastic event. How reliable does that sound? Given that humans have imaginations, it's not unlikely that witnesses might perceive or interpret information a certain way after hearing other stories. Television has opened the door for self-appointed Bigfoot experts to proclaim the existence of Bigfoot without any evidence to support their claims. One instance involves the supposed behavior of Bigfoot. According to Bigfoot experts, Bigfoot is nocturnal, Bigfoot bury their dead, they fear humans but are somehow curious enough to allow themselves to be photographed, and are alive in every possible landscape on the planet. How do these people know so much about Bigfoot, despite never having studied one in a scientific setting? A lot of those behaviors sound coincidental to a creature that has no physical evidence to support its existence. We also have to consider the source of the information. Is this person a self-appointed expert with no credentials or training? Do they offer insight on the subject or merely offer speculation? And how credible is the organization presenting that information?
Is the organization recognized by the scientific community?
How could a creature remain hidden despite an ever-shrinking habitat? Deforestation, hunting, and development would have likely revealed some evidence of Bigfoot by now. One also has to consider the fact that people lie to gain notoriety or impress others. There is also the possibility of confirmation bias. For those who don't know, confirmation bias is the tendency to search and interpret information to justify one's own perceptions. Then there is the common problem of misidentification. Seeing a shadowy figure in a thick forest or a low-light situation could produce a variety of results,
some of them manifesting in the conclusion that they saw what others have reported.
Most people aren't trained observers, and estimating distances and sizes in low-light situations is nearly impossible. One of the most famous Bigfoot hoaxes of all time is in 2008 when Rick Dyer and Matthew Whitten claimed they had a Bigfoot body encased in ice in a cooler. Their claim was called Bigfoot Black Friday by the media. It caused internet blackouts and was the seventh most searched story on the internet that year. In the documentary that followed the events, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, we can see how people become caught up in the sensational nature of a story without examining the facts or asking basic questions.
The most obvious red flag
was that they had no other witnesses. Then they wouldn't let anyone near the body. They created an elaborate story about the body being under armed guard, and anyone who wanted to see the body was forced to go through a series of nerve-wracking events that involved being approached by people with guns and being told stories about why the body was hidden where it was. When finally arriving at the Bigfoot body, the Bigfoot field researcher found only a portion of the body unfrozen and was directed to an area that he was allowed to touch. It was later revealed that Dyer and Whitten had stuffed the Bigfoot with roadkill and slaughterhouse guts to give it authenticity. Dyer and Whitten also produced an email from an unnamed Minnesota university claiming that the DNA testing were of unknown primate origin. It's also very suspicious that a university wouldn't want to take credit for the scientific discovery of the century. They also changed their story multiple times, which is another big red flag. First, they claimed that a felon had shot the Bigfoot. Later, they claimed they had seen a family of Bigfoots, and in their final version, they came across a Bigfoot corpse. Dyer and Whitten also had a failing Bigfoot business venture earlier that year where they led campers into the forest to have their own Bigfoot experiences. None of this was brought up when they proclaimed they had killed Bigfoot. Dyer and Whitten also demanded $50,000 up front for the body of the Bigfoot. If this was truly the scientific discovery of the century that they claimed it was, they could command any price they wanted. And when a Bigfoot researcher agreed to pay them, despite all the red flags, Dyer and Whitten gave him a fully frozen Bigfoot that would take days to defrost and promptly disappeared. Finally, after doing numerous radio and television appearances, their stories eventually caught up to them when a costume maker called the Bigfoot researcher and said he had made a Bigfoot costume for Dyer. Eventually, the Bigfoot was thawed, and researchers discovered what they had begun to suspect. The Bigfoot was a rubber suit filled with guts of decomposing animals. Later, in 2012, Rick Dyer appeared in the news again, claiming that he had shot and killed a Bigfoot in San Antonio. He claimed that he lured the Bigfoot out of the woods with Walmart ribs nailed to a tree. He claims he then shot the Bigfoot, and one of his cameramen who was following him for his upcoming documentary about Bigfoot was attacked and injured but refused to speak to the press. Dyer then rented out a trailer and took the Bigfoot body he dubbed Hank on a cross-country tour, charging $10 a peek. He was eventually confronted and confessed. Again, the Bigfoot body was a prop. Reports were that the Bigfoot tour netted him $60,000 before he was busted. Why commit a hoax? Hoaxes can be lucrative and they can turn nobodies into celebrities overnight. Facts and sources are easily manipulated in an age where anyone, anywhere can put a story out and have it reach countless people. It's important to remember the source of story. Is it someone you can trust? What is their motivation? And later, when the truth is discovered, it's often too late as people have moved on to the next story or have accepted it as fact and refused to believe that they have been duped. In the book Abominable Science, Origins of the Yeti, Nessie, and Other Famous Cryptids, authors Daniel Loxon and Donald R. Potero uncover the many myths and origins and how they've changed over time to become what we're familiar with. I highly recommend it if you want a more thorough examination of cryptids and their origins. You're listening to Lancer Radio, Pasadena Campus Sound, streaming live 24 hours a day from Pasadena City College at www.lancerradio.org.